This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 21, where we left off last time. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., either here or wherever you are, for America Praise and Praises God. But before we do that, I teach the word. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I am right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And you're also invited to come right here on August 4th at 6 p.m. for the marvelous Merson movie. My twin friend Scott Merson has a marvelous gift from God. He takes pictures and you can see into the celestial realm. You can see angels and scrolls flying through the air like Ezekiel. Now Scott verifies every picture with the Word of God, and he calls his marvelous Merson movie Walking with the Word. I will give you refreshments. Come August 4th, 6 p.m. And now, Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. From God's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. Jesus paid your death tax. Amen. Now, you know evil governments tax us to death while we're alive. Amen. And when we die, they give us a death tax, but Jesus paid your death tax.
Amen. Amen.
Now, we left off last time with the Lord Jesus Christ casting out a lunatic spirit out of a child. And we learned that lunatic comes from lunar or moon. And all prophecies of the devil in the Bible are in months or moons. So a lunatic spirit is the devil himself, not any old regular demon, just the devil, okay? And then Jesus told his disciples, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed from hence and go to yonder place, and it shall be removed. Now, of course, mountain is a metaphor for the devil, the lunatic spirit, or the Kenite nation, K-E-N-I-T-E, the devil's children, the descendants of Cain. Cain is a child of the devil when Eve was beguiled by Satan in the garden. Now, we realize that the United States of America right now is captured by the lunatic spirit. That's why everybody says it's crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay? We have been captured by the first beast of Revelation 13, the political system of the Antichrist, communism, socialism, Marxism. But Jesus just told us we can say to that and it be gone. However, there are two things we have to do before we say to the mountain. Let's find out what it is.
Verse 21, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting.
Okay, now we can say to this political beast, communism, socialism, Marxism, we say it, death and life to the power of tongue, but we've got to pray and we've got to fast, and we've been doing that. In other words, every Wednesday down here and every other day, we've been praying, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, God says, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins, America, and I'll heal your lands. But we also prayed Proverbs 6:31. If the thief be found, We found him. Amen. He shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Okay. Now, that's God's word. But then we got to fast. When I was in the book of Acts, I taught you about fasting. I've been fasting on a regular basis for this nation. So therefore, because we prayed his word, because we've been fasting, we can say, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, on the basis of the victory of Jesus' blood and by the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, communism, socialism, Marxism, be removed from America and go into the abyss in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Come, Jesus, be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus saith unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. 23. And they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry.
Notice that Jesus gave them the bad news first. He's going to die. They didn't know that yet. But then he gave them the good news. He's going to rise again. No matter what's going on in your life or in America, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So while the news is bad, go to Jesus and you get the good news, because Jesus gives you the gospel. Gospel means God spell good news.
Amen. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum,
compassion,
they that received tribute money and said,
all right, the tax collectors now are coming to Peter. Ooh, hope it's not Lois Lerner, IRS.
Doth not your master pay tribute?
Does Jesus pay taxes, Peter?
25. And he said, yes.
That's the cutest thing. Peter didn't know whether Jesus paid taxes or not, but he was going to cover his back. Okay, now, they're saying, Jesus, you better pay taxes. I'll tell you one thing. Once you start serving the Lord, the devil's going to send those tax collectors after you. Don't be afraid.
And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon?
Simon's name means a hearing. So Jesus knew about the tax collectors. So he said, Simon, I want to hear something from you about tax collecting.
Of whom do the kings of the earth pay custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?
Now, do evil governments charge bad taxes, big taxes, of strangers or of their own children? Now, we've got somebody sitting in the White House, and he's raising our taxes to the roof. But I have a feeling Hunter's not going to have to pay any taxes, but the rest of us strangers are.
26. And Peter said unto him, of strangers.
Of course, not the children.
Jesus said unto him, then are the children free.
Then are the children free. Now remember that while Jesus is in a flesh body, he is Emmanuel, God with us. God, Jesus, created the heaven and the earth. He owns this earth. The cattle of a thousand hills are his. So he does not have to pay taxes on his own earth. And Peter is his child, so Peter does not have to pay taxes. Okay, now, you and I were dead in trespasses and sin. Now I want you to look at the board. All of you in Facebook, SoundCloud, internet, I have a beautiful board here in Trumpet Truth headquarters, and here's what it says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But there was one who was willing to die in your stead. Therefore, Jesus paid it all. Amen. We were all dead in trespasses and sin, and our tax bill was to die forever. But Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid our death tax. Let's give a clap for that.
27. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them.
Don't offend the tax folks.
Go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee.
Okay. Now remember early in Matthew, Jesus said, unless you leave father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, houses, lands, money, your own dreams for my sake, you cannot be my disciple. Peter had been a successful commercial fisherman. He made a lot of money, but he left it all for Jesus. He honestly didn't have enough to pay his own taxes. But Jesus also said earlier in Matthew, if you give up everything for Jesus, you will not only be repaid in the eternity, but right here in this life, you will be repaid. Look, he's repaying Peter. You never give up anything for Jesus, but what God restores it all, sevenfold.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 1.
From God's heart to my heart to your heart, never lose your childlike heart. Never lose your childlike heart.
Verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
Now, we can tell they're not where they need to be, because they should not have had to ask that question. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? God. But they're growing. And sometimes Christians have a little rivalry. You see, even in the body of Christ, somebody wants to be the head. They don't want to be the tail. They don't want to clean the church toilet. They want to be the big star, okay? So they said, which one of us is going to be greatest? Peter, or James, or John, or Andrew, Bartholomew?
Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them.
Now, while this is a little child, it is a metaphor, it is a parable, an illustration, a story used to illustrate a spiritual truth. Coming right out of the gate, the little ones, the little children, are God's elect, chosen from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Foundation, Satan's overthrow in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, when Lucifer, Isaiah 14, said, I will be God. And we were all in our spirit bodies, Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Revelation 12 says, almost all of God's children betrayed God, but there was one third there that did not, and they are sent out now to bring the oracles of truth. But everybody's sent out now because God loves all his children. So the little ones here are God's elect.
Verse 3, and said, verily I say unto you,
of a truth,
except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven.
So before you can say who's going to be greatest, you might not even get there. Converted means to change from one thing into another. See, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So you can't go to heaven unless you get converted. That means, are you saved? I want to ask everyone. Now, church membership does not save you. Doing good things does not save you. Those are good things. If you are saved, you would go to church. If you are saved, you would do good things. But have you ever had a time in your life when you said, dear God, I'm a filthy, rotten sinner? Now, you see, most people say, oh, I'm not bad, I'm good. No, 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 no. I know you don't smoke, and I know you don't chew, and I know you don't go with those who do. But you see, if you love video games more than you love the Word of God, and you don't come to church when Wednesday and Sunday and every time it's open, you are bad because you don't love God first. If you don't love God first, you're bad. So have you ever had a time when you said, I have sinned, and you confessed that sin to the Lord? You repented, you stopped it, you believed, and you made Jesus not only your Savior, but he's your Lord. Are you saved? That's the first requirement to go to heaven. Your good deeds won't do it. Everybody, check yourself out.
Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Now the metaphor is that we have to be like a little child. So how is a little child? Now, we're going to do a metaphor. We've got a great dad. This daddy loves his little child, and he's a good daddy. So the little child loves his daddy with all his heart. When daddy comes in the door, little child says, "Daddy, daddy, I love you, I love you." And he hugs him, and daddy hugs him. Now you, God's elect, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You're supposed to love him more than anything else in the world. Anything else that you love more, you are not God's elect, so you must love him first. Now, a little child, that little child is sitting down there. He's short, and those disciples are taller, so he's sitting in the midst of them, and he's the least of all. He's very humble. So a little child is so humble, the little child is totally dependent on his good daddy. So the little child says, "Daddy, I'm hungry," and daddy feeds him. "Daddy, I'm sleepy," so daddy puts him to bed. And the little child says, "Daddy, diaper," and daddy changes the diaper. The child is totally dependent on God. See, pride goes before a fall, Christian elect. When you exalt yourself, you will be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. No matter how talented you are, no matter who you are, a little child, the elect dependent on God, says, "I live, yet not I. Christ lives in me. The Father within, he doeth the work." And then the little child trusts his daddy. So good daddy says, "Little child, this is a very high table, and you're a little short child. But little child, I'm going to pick you up and put you on this table." The child trusts his daddy to put him on the table, even though it's very, very high, but he knows he trusts his dad. Now, your dad is the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, John 1:1. Now, so that means if you're an elect, you trust every word from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. You trust it and you do not doubt it. Every word. You don't say, "But what if, maybe, maybe, maybe." You trust every word, okay? Now that's what you do. Now, daddy's got the little child on the table. Now you, Christian elect, you're on the table. You're trusting the Word of God. So far, so good. Now, the little child obeys his daddy. Daddy says, "Little child, on this high table, jump off the table." Whew, it's a high table. But the little child obeys because, of course, he trusts his daddy. And, of course, his daddy catches him. So, you see, you have to obey. Now, you Christian, all right. One of the greatest requests I ever get for prayer is healing. The second is money. So let's approach healing, because everybody from time to time needs a healing. Now, you're God's elect, and you're on the high table there, and so you're already trusting. You're on the table, you're trusting, because you heard that Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. Jesus purchased your healing, for with his stripes you are healed. And you trusted in him, the Word, James 5:13, which says, "Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church." An elder does not have anything to do with age. It means someone who is mature in God's Word, who knows God's Word, who lives by God's Word 24 hours a day, and who is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Call for the elders of the church. You're trusting God. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, olive oil, two names of God, Eliyah, olive oil is anointing, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Okay, you're on the table, you trust that word now, but you've got to jump off the table, sick person. Okay, see, this is where the rubber meets the road. Now you've got to jump off the table. Okay, so what do? All right, you have to understand that when a person is anointed to pray for your healing, you don't move until that anointing happens. When I am on my knees polishing the upper room, you don't want me to pray for your anointing because you don't want me to put your hands on him. When I play the piano and sing, I'm anointed to do that. When I pray for the prayer of salvation, I'm anointed for that. I'm teaching God's word. I'm blind. I can't see anything, but I'm anointed to do that. So the Father within, he's doing it. So you see, for you to get healed, you've got to do what God's word said. To jump off the table, first of all, you've got to find that elder, that man or woman who knows the word of God, who is anointed. Now, you don't say, could you kind of make a private appointment, come at 2 o'clock? No. Here's why. You've got to be in order. You've got to first go and hear the word. Why is that? Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed you. We've had many healings through Trumpet of Truth. To God be the glory. I look back and I see that the reason so many were healed is while they wanted me to get off in a corner so they would have to come to church, so they would have to do the order, I made everybody I ever prayed for come and first hear the word of God, because the word heals. Psalm 107:20. So see, now until you do that, you can't have your private appointment, because I may be cleaning the church toilet. In other words, there's a time for the anointing, there's a time for that. Then, if you get that far, and you've gone to church, and you sit through the whole sermon, listening to the word of God with the anointing flowing on you, then when the invitation to heal you come up. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She didn't care what people thought about her. She crawled on her hands and knees, dropping blood to touch the hem of his garment. You know what was in the hem of his garment? The word of God. Amen. So when the invitation comes, you come through and you come up. And then you allow yourself to be anointed with oil, olive oil, Eliyah, two names of God, in the name of the Lord. Now, when that prayer is prayed for you, this is where you've really got to jump off the table. This is where most people mess up. Once that prayer is prayed, I'm sorry to say, most people I pray for immediately start telling me about their sickness all over again. Or they say, I sure hope I'm healed. I hope so. I hope it happens. I hope God answers your prayer. Oh, the cancer's here. That's that. You did not jump off the table. You just messed it all up. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are the power of the tongue. You were supposed to obey the word of God, which said, with Jesus' stripes you heal. The word says, once you're anointed, that the Lord will raise you up. Amen. And if you disagree, you did not obey with your daddy the word who said the Lord would raise you up. Amen. You did not jump off the table. Do you understand?
Yes. Yes.
Now, one more thing a little child does who has a good daddy. He emulates his daddy. In other words, whatever he sees daddy do, he copies it, he imitates it. My good friend, my twin friend Scott Merson, and his beautiful wife Angela, had some guests some time ago, and they had a cute little toddler named Evelyn. Now, Scott was in the kitchen dicing and slicing a fresh watermelon. Scott is an artist at that. When he finished, Scott took a piece of the melon. Scott leaned against the wall and began to eat it. Well, in came cute little toddler Evelyn. She's just learning to walk. Her big eyes look at Scott. Her big eyes look at the melon. Well, Scott, with his great heart, says, here, Evelyn, you can have some. Now watch her. In a way, he was a spiritual father. Little Evelyn took the melon, looked at Scott, got up beside him, leaned against the wall, and ate her melon. And you see, that's what you do, little child, Christian. You do what Jesus does. You say what Jesus says. You go where Jesus goes. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you.
Amen.
Five. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, receive it me.
Now remember, the little child is God's elect, chosen from before the foundation of the world. Now, any time that you're brought to an elect, remember, a true elect of God's children, they don't live. Christ lives in them. The Father within, he doeth the work. Oh, they're in a flesh body, but they're not living. God is taking over them. So, if you respect them and obey the word of God that comes through them from God's heart to their heart to your heart, then you receive Christ because Christ is in them. Do you understand?
Yes.
Verse 6. But. Whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hung about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Uh-oh. Why is God so partial to his elect? Because the Bible says here at the end of the age right now, he only has 7,000 elect who are not going to bow the knee to the about to appear Antichrist, the devil with his Jesus costume on. They're the only ones he can trust to bring the true oracles of God. So of course he protects his elect. Now the Bible says that God's elect, the little ones, are the apple of God's eye. Apple in the Hebrew means pupil. So anytime anyone lies about elect, gossips about them, criticizes them, writes a bad letter to them, makes fun to them, that person has stuck their finger in God's pupil and God's going to swat them.
Amen.
Look out. Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm, says God.
Amen. 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come.
Now, most of the world is lost and sinful, and they offend each other all the time. I do want to take a moment. America, you have become a victim to offenses. That offends me. Get over it. Stop that.
Amen. Now, woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh.
Now, in this case, offenses takes on a new meaning. It means cause to stumble. Cause to stumble. That man is a man of the earth. He's a man of sin, the son of perdition, mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, most people think perdition is Judas. No. Perdition is Apollyon, Revelation 9. He's the king of the bottomless pit. He's the Antichrist. And Apollyon or perdition means to turn to ashes from within. In Ezekiel chapter 28, the devil, the Antichrist, the Satan, the serpent, that old dragon, in Ezekiel 28 has been sentenced to turn to ashes from within. The Antichrist is not Judas. Judas repented. What he had to do to get saved, to repent. The son of perdition is the devil, and he comes before Jesus, and he's going to cause the whole world to stumble. He's going to offend the whole world because Revelation 13 says the whole world will call him God except the 7,000 elect who know better. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, are going to stumble into the Antichrist's arms because they think it's Jesus. They don't have the order of the trumps in them. So woe to that man. What's going to happen to the Antichrist? Remember, he comes before Jesus. We're on the threshold of his coming now. We're right there in the gateway, the doorway, right now. He's about to come. He's going to say peace and safety, cause craft to prosper. He's going to look like Jesus, act like him. The whole world's going to think, oh, this is God. Half the body of Christ will think he's Jesus. But he's going to offend. He's going to cause you to stumble. Because if you worship him, even though you think he's Jesus, you go to hell. Well, what's going to happen to him, that man? Woe to him. At the end of the millennium, with the elect Zadok teaching and Jesus on earth, nobody's flying away. We're going to have the great white throne judgment. That man of sin, all his ilk, and all who worship him will walk into the lake of fire. Feeny, be blotted out.
Verse 8, wherefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee.
Now, you'll be glad to know that Jesus does not want you to cut off your hand or foot. It's a metaphor. We are called the many-membered body of Christ. We're the body, and Jesus is the head. If you're saved, you're part of his body. Maybe you're the spleen, but you're very important. Now, the feet of the body transport the word of God to someone. The hand hands you the word of God. So what Jesus is saying, if you are one of God's children, if someone is taking you or handing you what's supposed to be the word of God, but it is not, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line, with the anointing, with a study from Hebrew, Chaldee, and Greek. In other words, cut yourself off from that assembly. Why?
For it is better to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire.
It would be better for you to go to heaven without those false teachers, the hands or the feet, rather than go to hell with them.
Verse 9. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee.
The eye in the body of Christ is called an S-E-E-R, seer, a prophet, an anointed speaker. Now, all true seers tell you the mystery of God. They tell you of the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, of three earth and heaven ages. They tell you of the seduction in the garden. They tell you of the fallen angels of Genesis 6 and Jude. And they give you the proper order of the trumps. And always, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. However, if you're going someplace and that one who's supposed to be the seer does not tell you anything of what I just said, cut yourself off from that assembly. Why?
For it is better to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire.
It's better that you go to heaven with a true seer than to go to hell with the fake seers. You're accountable where you go to church.
Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones.
One of God's elect.
For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven.
Now, when I was teaching Revelation, we learned in Revelation chapter 1 that in heaven the Lord is on the throne, and that there are seven spirits around the throne, and they have God's face at all time. Spirits are angels. Forget the wings, okay? These seven spirits are particularly assigned one of these for each of the 7,000 elect. And in other words, God protects his elect. Well, who are these holy angels that protect God's elect? There's somebody in heaven who loves you. It could be a mother, a daddy, a brother, sister, a teacher, a preacher, someone who's gone on before you who loves you. Now, they have an option, if they want to be your guardian angel. My twin friend Scott Merson loves his mother with all his heart. Mrs. Merson had gotten saved, and she was concerned about her son Scott. Some issues were in his life, and she wanted to see them in order. But she knew that she was going to die soon. So she told Scott, she said, "Son, I asked Jesus if I could be your guardian angel and help you get things straightened out." Now, Scott has had spiritual revelations that that is true, but so have I. In my school in Cocoa, when Scott first came, I invited everybody to come up to the bench. Every time Scott Merson came to my holy bench there, I would see a beautiful woman smiling at him and smiling at me, and I knew it was Mrs. Merson. Yeah. By the way, I happen to see those. You know, Paul says we see, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Also, I see angels when I'm studying here by myself. They gather around this place. I mean, it's just a passel of them. They're filled up in here. They're all over the place. They're in my living quarters, in my bed. And when I go back to my living quarters on my bed, I sit up in bed for a while to pray or maybe relax, watch a little television. And there they come, a whole passel of them. They don't have wings. They're heavenly people. And they look so great. They flash their lights and say, "Pay attention to me." But God showed me one specifically not too long ago. She was so beautiful. She was smiling at me. She was my Aunt Zelma Collins. My Aunt Zelma Collins was my spiritual mother when I was a very young child. She and my Uncle Walker Collins, they were my spiritual parents. They told me about Jesus when I was 2, 3, 4, and 5. And so look at that. Amen. So you see, if you're God's elect, you're never alone. You have Jesus living inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit beside you to guide you. They have the Father looking out for you, and have your angels. For Psalm 91 says he gives his angels charge over you. They keep you in all their ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Why does he do that? Because you have the heart of a little child. Mm-hmm. I pray you are blessed. Amen. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What an awesome word today.
Awesome word. God's word is true. Amen. Well, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1.
Absolutely perfect. Great, Scott. Thank you, Scott. Now, in a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But before we do, okay, are you really saved? Did you actually tell God you're a miserable, rotten sinner? Or did you just pray that prayer and didn't know you were sinning? Here's your chance. It's later than you think. We're in the last hour here. It's time for you to get saved. Pray this with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize, fill, and lead me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize, fill, and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is my Lord.
That Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, all of those of you out there, Facebook, SoundCloud, Internet, anywhere, confession is made into salvation. You need to tell someone. In a little while, you'll get my telephone number, and I invite you to call me and leave that confession on my voicemail. Now, I'm going to pray for the sick. Today, I feel led to pray for those with heart palpitations. Okay, therefore, Father, in the name of Jesus, I put in remembrance of your word, Malachi chapter 4. You said, Lord, in Jesus' name, that for those who fear your name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. So, Father, I ask that the laser beams of Jesus will touch everyone's heart. And where there is their heart skipping a beat, let that heart get back in the perfect rhythm of the heart of God. Whether there's fluttering, whether there's just a disconnect there, we ask the Son of Righteousness will heal that heart. Some of that is caused by stress and anxiety. So we ask the Lord to give that person peace that passes understanding. Fear not, trust in the Lord, obey. And with Jesus' stripes, your heart is healed, and it now beats with the rhythm of God. And we all say, I agree in Jesus' name. Now, for those of you who are also healed, you might like to call and tell me that a little while. Nothing is given for you to keep. God's law of reciprocity, give it away, and God will multiply it back to you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Facebook, SoundCloud. Thank you for all my friends out there. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
God bless you. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. on 91.5 FM and WMIE FM and also SoundCloud. I want to invite every one of you to come to my place in Sun Tree, Florida on August 4th at 6 p.m. That'll be a Wednesday for the Marvelous Merson movie. My twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson, has a marvelous supernatural gift from God. Scott takes pictures, and the pictures reveal what's in the spiritual realm. You can see angels, and you can see scrolls flying through the air like Ezekiel saw. Now, Scott verifies every picture by the Word of God, and he calls his movie Walking with the Word. It's about 45 minutes. And guess what? I'm going to serve you refreshments. Now, my place, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, is in Sun Tree, Florida. I'm right beside the produce place, which is owned by Scott Merson. The produce place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. So come, the Marvelous Merson movie by Scott Merson at Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, on August 4th, 6 p.m. I love
Listen
you,
to Sherry
and God
Medlock's
bless you.
Trumpet of Truth. Every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on 91.5 FM WMIE, Sherry is an anointed missionary messenger to America, teaching God's Word book by book, chapter by chapter, and line by line. You can hear all of Sherry's teachings on demand on the WMIEFM.com website or on the SoundCloud app 24/7 by typing Sherry, that's S-H-A-R-I, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth. That's on the SoundCloud app. And remember John 17:17.
Christians to
Thy
worship
word
and study of God's
is truth.
Word. This is today's modern worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Praise and I'm my God turns my darkness into light. With my God I can scale a wall. With your help I can lit a war and not even fall. It makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Lets me stand on a high tide above my fears. It makes a path broad beneath my feet so my ankles don't turn and ruin me. So I sing hallelujah.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I made. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn,
yeah,
till I made. You call my name and I heavy, the chains break at the weight of glory.
I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. Well, I was broke.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
If you and I today would even see how God feels about our sin, it wouldn't be pretty.
Dr. Tony Evans says we may not be able to completely grasp it now, but that day is coming.
And God will fully show you how sinful sin is in his eyes when the wrath of God is fully displayed in the day of the Lord.
Celebrating 40 years of faithfulness, this is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Biblical prophecy tells us that in the end, God wins and his kingdom lasts forever. But it also says there